story of Mert and Marge. In our last chapter, Mert learned that a Chicago gang headed by Spike Duffy plans to take over the Houston Rackets, and that Jimmy Minter is trying to join them. She got the information by plying Harry Duffy, Spike's brother, with liquor after she had him duped into a date. Anything can happen at any time from now on. And in just a moment, we'll see what does take place in today's chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. The evening after Mert's date with Harry Duffy. She hasn't seen Jack Arnold yet to report on the fact she gleaned from Harry. However, Jack is taking Mert and Marge to New York's most glittering night spot, the Pink Angel. The show is over and the girls are dressing for the party. Mert says...
Oh, darn it. Here we are, the last ones in the dressing room. I just can't seem to hurry.
Oh, Myrtle, I'm so excited. Just think, a party at the Pink Angel. Just the three of us, Mr. Arnold and you and me.
Yes, oh, the party's a little unbalanced, but after that session with Harry Duffy last night, I don't care. I'd hate to have to put on an act tonight. Jack wanted to bring one of his friends as an escort for me, but I asked him not to.
Well, that's too bad, though. He looks so pretty in that black lace evening gown.
Oh, I hope I don't look as if I were in mourning for some dead love or something. I hate men.
Did you see Mr. Hunt tonight during the show?
No, only once. We were making an entrance on stage. He's avoided me like poison ivy.
Did you notice Mrs. Hunt down in the second row tonight?
Yes. She had some friends sitting in back of her, and
she made me feel so uneasy I got all out of step twice in the first act. And I noticed she kept talking to them over her shoulder.
Probably telling them that the red-headed wench on the right end was the hussy who had ruined her life.
She must be going someplace tonight. Gosh, she was beautifully dressed, wore a gorgeous evening gown.
Oh, doggone. Will you look at this?
What happened?
A great wide snag in these brand new nylons.
Oh,
what'll I do, Margie?
Well, can't you go bare-legged?
No, not with these open-toed slippers.
Well, put some nail polish on your toenails.
Oh, I guess I'll have to. Go on up and meet Jack. Tell him I'll be there eventually.
Well, don't get excited, Myrtle. He'll understand.
I'll bet he will.
Well, I'll go on up and explain. I don't see him. I wonder where he is.
Well, I'm waiting for you, Margie.
Waiting for me, Sonny? Why?
Oh, gosh, you look gorgeous in that evening gown. I'll be the luckiest guy in the Pink Angel.
Oh, are you going to the Pink Angel, Sonny? I see you're wearing a tuxedo and you look very nice.
Well, of course. We said we'd dress for him, huh?
Oh, Sonny. Oh, can you ever forgive me? I forgot all about it. I forgot it was tonight.
Well, are you finally ready, Margie?
Oh,
hello, Mr. Darnell.
Hello, Mr. Arnold.
Where's that redhead?
Well, she'll be right up, Mr. Arnold.
Well, I guess that lets me out.
Let you out of what, Sonny?
Well, 2 weeks ago, I made a positive date with Margie for tonight to take her to the Pink Angel.
Well, you're here, aren't you? And Margie's here, and just as soon as that red-headed partner of mine gets up here, the four of us will be off.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Arnold. You're a very nice guy.
Well, thank you.
I think you're wonderful.
Well, here I am at last. Hello, Sonny. Where are you?
This is a foursome tonight, Myrtle. And remember, no monkey business. You're with me.
Well, let's go. Sinatra is nothing on you, Sonny. You're being eyed by every woman in the Pink Angel.
That's because Margie is with me, Mert.
Well, the gentlemen in the place aren't exactly scanning the menus at the moment. You and Margie are a feast for the eyes, Myrtle.
Say, look, Margie. Three couples are dancing. The Johnny Winter's organ music.
Mr. Arnold sort of started that when we were here a few weeks ago.
Hey, why don't you two get in on that while the music's still hot?
Yes, come on, Margie. This is something different.
Okay.
Hey, what's the idea, Jack?
Well, I wanted a word with Thomas, the head waiter. Oh, here's our table. How is this, Merle?
Fine.
Everything has been taken care of.
Oh, but there'll be four instead of three, Thomas. And another chair here, please.
Yes, Mr. Arnold. There you are.
Thank you.
I'll tell the chef to prepare for four.
All right.
Okay. Have you ordered something special, Jack?
Yes, I called Thomas on the phone to tell the chef to make us his very special chicken shortcake.
Oh, with a regular biscuit crust and everything?
No. This is made with white cornmeal, has sherry and truffles and whatnot in the gravy. I think you'll like it.
You always do things upright, don't you, Jack?
Speaking of doing things upright, that was a great job you did on poor Mr. Duffy last night. Took two waiters and the driver to get him into the car.
Uh-oh. And I'd forgotten to ask him where he lived.
Well, it was the same driver that brought you over to Murray's. He knew Duffy's address all right.
I bet he had some time pouring him in.
Well, tomorrow I want you to tell me all about your conversation with Mr. Duffy. That must have been very interesting.
Oh, Jack, he was so easy that I'm kind of ashamed of myself. I wonder if he'll remember all the things he told me.
Well, I hope not. He's kind of a dangerous fellow to play with, Myrtle.
Say, I think he really goes for me.
Did you lead him on?
Well, how do you suppose I got all the information out of him? I didn't use radar.
You didn't let that fellow make love to you, did you?
Well, I told you over the phone he hadn't even tried to kiss me yet. But he was leading up to it fast. That's why I called you.
Oh, then it was a call for help.
Oh, have it your own way.
You know, young lady, that you've gotten yourself into a jam that may prove very hard to squeeze out of.
Well, how do you mean, Jack?
Well, you say he likes you, and you let him think that you're all for him.
Oh, what's the answer?
Well, I wonder how you're going to drop him suddenly. Taking a tough job into your hands, lady.
So, you mean when he wakes up to the fact that I was only stringing him, he might make trouble?
Well, he'll remember some of the things he told you and wonder about the things he can't remember.
Oh, Jack, you kind of frighten me. What'll I do?
Well, has he phoned you today?
No, he doesn't know my phone number.
Well, he can get it from Jimmy, and then he can always call you at the theater, you know.
Oh, I wouldn't know what to say to him if he should call me. Oh, I have it. I'll tell him that last night he insulted me terribly and that I don't ever want to see him again.
Oh, Myrtle, that won't register with a guy like Duffy. He'll just make himself a bigger nuisance by trying to square himself.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have let me go.
Well, I think I did make a mistake. Oh, the dance looks like it's almost over.
About time for those kids to get over here to the table. They seem to have forgotten us.
Margie seems perfectly contented and happy with Sonny Darnell. Hey, look, right now he's whispering sweet nothings in her ear.
It might be another proposal, Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a request for a song, and I'm going to ask Mr. Sonny Darnell to oblige the charming lady over here on my left. What'll it be, Sonny?
Oh, he'd better not refuse. They always oblige in here.
He's going up to the mic.
Well, I'll be glad to sing for the lady if this young lady will sing with me. Folks, I want you to meet a future star, Miss Margie Minter.
Thank you, but I...
And we're going to sing Give My Heart a Break, Cherie, the song Dixie Lane and I sing in the pleasure. An introduction, please, Johnny.
Well, of all the nerve. Sonny certainly put Margie in a spot. And Dixie Lane won't exactly love her for singing her song in public. Gosh, I hope she can do it.
Oh, she can do it. Don't worry, Myrtle. Margie has a little stardust in her eye. She'll come through.
Jack, those kids are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Dixie Lane had better look to her laurels.
An ear of sympathy, Jerry.
Jack, that party of six just coming in with Ray Hunt and his wife.
Yes, I see them. And they're being seated just two tables to the left of us.
Is something I can't explain. It haunts me.
Is she sitting so she can see me?
No. She's facing the other way. Ray can't see us either.
Oh, why did he have to bring her here?
Oh, now, don't let it spoil your evening, girl. Come on, snap out of it. He probably didn't know you'd be here.
Last time we were here, I waltzed with Ray. It was the beginning of the end. I wonder if it really is the end, Jack.
Well, that's rather hard to say, Morgan. Now, come on, buck up, kid. Come on, applaud, Myrtle, and smile. Hunt's discovered us. He's looking this way and smiling.
Yes, it's you, but he's ignoring me.
I'll make him look at you. Now, you put your head close to mine.
Well, Margie and Sonny are coming to the table. Margie, I'll
think... Do as I tell you.
Well, how's that?
Now, I'm going to kiss you.
Well, That wasn't hard to take, Jack.
That will be in the newspaper tomorrow, Myrtle.
What do you mean?
Don't look now, but that's our leading gossip columnist, sitting directly across from Mrs. Hunt.
Margie's forgotten date with Sonny Darnell turned out all right after all, thanks to Jack Arnold. We wonder if Margie saw Jack Arnold kiss Mert. We know Ray Hunt saw him kiss her, as did the lady gossip columnist. Mert and Jack are merely good friends, so Jack must have had some very specific reason for the public exhibition. Perhaps we'll learn why in the next exciting chapter of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.